Awaken us to your glory, O God. Restore a gentleness of touch. Bring us an awareness of you. Awaken us to your glory. Amen. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Say hello to the straight-shooting Jesus. He's bold, and he's clear, and he repeats his point, and he doesn't mince words. And it's shocking. It's shocking for his disciples to hear, and it's shocking for us too today. So often we've heard from the kinder, gentler Jesus, the one who tells the hard truths in parables that somehow soften the blow, even if we struggle at times to understand them. But today, we meet Jesus who is on the way to Jerusalem, and on the way to death on a cross. This is the Jesus who is about to give up his most precious human possession, his life, for humanity. And maybe in the face of that fact, he's decided to boldly take on one of the tough issues, namely wealth, and the impact that it has on one's ability to be in relationship with God and one another. Now, there's much we could explore and dive into in our gospel today, but for this morning, I'd like to begin with the following question. Why precisely is it difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Think about it for a moment. What is your opinion of wealth? What does it mean to be rich? What are the gifts and the challenges that come with financial and material prosperity? Now, some possibilities might include issues of self-sufficiency. When a person has enough money or resources or power, that reliance upon self surpasses reliance upon God. Sometimes wealth can desensitize a person from the needs or concerns or the plights of another, setting things outside the radar, so to speak. Or possibly it's that monetary and material wealth and all that comes with it can separate us from the element of being human, meaning the inescapable dimension of being dependent upon and in relationship with one another, needing one another. From the beginning, humans were created not to be alone, but to be in relationship and companionship with one another, with creation, and with God. Maybe you would agree that being alone or isolated or detached from one another isn't good for us. It isn't healthy. Yet to identify and to deal with the things that keep us from relationship with both the divine and the human is challenging. It can even be confronting. So in today's lesson, the rich man called out to Jesus, asking what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus responded to the man by directing him to the teachings of his faith tradition, to the Ten Commandments. And Jesus called out and noted six of them, the six that specifically have to do with human interaction. With sincerity, this man tells Jesus that he has followed these commandments his whole life. And what follows is one of the most beautiful, powerful, and intimate moments found in Scripture. Mark tells us that Jesus looked at him and Jesus loved him. Loved him. Can you imagine for just a moment yourself in this man's shoes? You're faithful and you're righteous, and by all counts, you are a very, very good person. And you truly long to know what it will take to get into heaven. And so you muster the courage to come to Jesus, the teacher, and to ask the question. And you and Jesus talk. And he tells you the commands you need to follow, and you assure him that you have done so. And then Jesus looks at you, and he sees you for who you are. He really sees you, and he loves you. So just sit with that a moment. Close your eyes if it helps to imagine. What might this have been like to have Jesus see you and love you? Breathe it in. I can only imagine that it would feel amazing. And then Jesus breaks in and says, "Just one more thing." And maybe for a moment you think, "Wow, just one thing. Yes, yes, I'm close." Now, with the rich man, the just one more thing Jesus asked of him was to take everything he had, to sell it, and to give it to the poor, and that he would get treasures in heaven. And then it was followed by this invitation to come, follow me. Because Jesus could see that for all the man's sincerity and righteousness, that he was still attached to his wealth and his belongings and his identity. So much so that the man went away sad. So who among us wouldn't find a request like that difficult? Or maybe even crazy? Imagine Jesus saying to you, "Just one more thing." And then because he knows you, and because he loves you, and because he knows what you need most, he invites you to let go of that which keeps you from complete communion with God and to join him. So whatever it is, fear, control, self-sufficiency, things, or something else, letting go can be hard. What we do or say or choose often blinds us from being who we are. Human beings made in the image of God, given the freedom to be God's children, and God's light in the world. But when we let go, this space is created to be filled by the power and the goodness and the presence of Christ. This is what Jesus invited the rich man into, and what he invites us into also. Last month, I had the privilege of leading a Celtic pilgrimage to Ireland. 30 adults chose to step away from the demands and the pressures and the expectations of their daily lives and to come along on the journey. It was a journey that invited them to slow down, to reflect and receive, to explore and to wonder, and to commune with God and one another. Whether to be found in the rugged or serene beauty of nature, in the relics of cathedrals or in a graveyard, or in the experience of Irish culture, the pilgrims were invited to embody the essence of St. Patrick's breastplate, that Christ is before us and behind us. The Christ is above us and below us. The Christ is to the left and to the right, and that Christ dwells always within. As lovely as this sounds and can be, the truth is that being a pilgrim on the way is hard. It asks us to let go for a while of our needs, our desires, comforts, and our control. It beckons us to open our eyes and our ears and our hands and our hearts, to not get and seek what we desire, but to receive what God has to give us. It asks us to trust God, to trust our leaders, and to trust one another, and to allow ourselves to be vulnerable and to take risk. And pilgrimage promises that if we, for just a wee moment, are able to let go of or set aside those things that we think keep us safe and secure, we may encounter God in ways we could never imagine. These sacred moments, when the distance between humans and the holy narrows, are often called thin places. These are moments when the veil that seems to separate us from God dissipates, and we experience an encounter of God that is so sacred that words cannot do it justice. These are seemingly impossible moments with God, that God breaks through into our being, made possible by the love of God and the God through which all is possible. And although pilgrimage is designed to allow for these kinds of special moments and opportunities to encounter God, it's really important to note that one does not have to go on pilgrimage to encounter God. Like the rich man, Jesus beckons each and every one of us to trust and let go, so that we might receive. Jesus calls us to step away from the demands of our busy lives and to pause to consider where we let darkness dominate our choices and direct our attention to material or temporal things, to take us away from the light of Christ, away from the eternal. Like the Ireland pilgrims, we may always draw close to the words of St. Patrick. They help us to remember and to acknowledge God's full presence around us and within us as we come to God in prayer and ask for strength and for courage and for wisdom. So whether in the realm of school or work or in ministry or in our families, our 21st century culture teaches us that success and our identities are defined by hard work and production, by achievement and acquisition, by status, and sometimes even by wealth. The teachings of our faith, however, tell us a different story of success. It is a story that is more focused upon who we are than what we have or what we do. Jesus sees you. Jesus loves you. hear his invitation and find your strength and identity not in what you have, but in who God has created you to be. Letting go doesn't mean losing. Letting go for Jesus means receiving more. More than we can imagine, for in God, everything is possible.